Good morning, Pepe. We start again. We try again. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly. Thanks so much. You've had about a week now to internalize and digest the outcome of that parliamentary sitting, that bill passed by the Ugandan parliament. How do you feel 6 days later?
I am still appalled and horrified at the, you know, the conduct in which the bill was passed. But also I've barely slept because, the community is, you know, dealing with unrest and anxiety and all that. And as a leader, of course, there's that burden and the burden, which I'm glad, you know, to carry for my community, that as a leader, you have to check in on everyone and make sure that, you know, you do things that are appropriate to make sure that everyone is safe. So yeah, there's been lack of sleep, there's high anxiety, and I'm just still horrified even 6 days later.
We've had the United Nations, other international rights organizations like Human Rights Watch coming out and saying and urging the President Yoweri Museveni to not sign this bill, to not turn this bill into law. But I'd like to know what responsibilities, if any, do you think the South African government has in reaction to this bill? It comes a week after your president visited South Africa. The South African president has largely spoken out in support of vulnerable groups like LGBTQI plus people, victims of gender-based violence, the rights of sex workers. Do you think that South Africa, in its government, has any moral voice in this bill?
Absolutely. South Africa and other African nations definitely must have a say. In and I've listened to your president, President Ramaphosa, you know, being outspoken about, you know, gender-based violence, protection for LGBTIQ persons. And as an African nation, definitely African presidents, our leaders need to be listening to each other. They sit at the AU. They, you know, they have a responsibility to call other leaders in check if they are not living up to the human rights standards that they are signed up to at the African Commission, but also the international human rights instruments that Uganda is signatory to. Definitely South Africa needs to speak out. South Africa needs to speak, apart from speaking out publicly, there needs to be diplomatic discussions also held with our president that this bill shouldn't be passed. It's quite immoral for a nation to prescribe a death penalty for someone or for a group of minorities just for being minorities or just for being the people who they are. We are citizens of the country and we deserve the same protections as heterosexual people enjoy. So I would definitely call upon the president of South Africa to have a conversation with my president. It has to be in real time because the parliament, I think, is delivering the amended copy of the bill to the president today. And we are so worried that he could sign it as quickly as possible, as quick as tomorrow. Speaking to you today would even be a crime.
So this bill makes it illegal to identify, to lobby, to advocate for people who identify as LGBTQ+I+. So which means this conversation that you and I tomorrow could give you a minimum of a 10-year sentence, a maximum of life imprisonment, and if worse, even the death penalty prescribed. This conversation in Uganda could be illegal tomorrow.
Yes, it could, according to the bill in its current state.
So what do you do tomorrow, Pepe, if the bill is signed? What do you do? Do you run? Do you flee the country? Do you try to get on the plane? Do you and also the scores and hundreds and thousands of other LGBTQI plus people, many who may not even have the means or the privilege to have the profile that you have. What happens? Do they stay indoors? Do they go underground? What happens?
And that's the horrific nature of the of this bill. You mentioned earlier that I'm a prominent or known advocate for LGBTIQ rights in Uganda and the African continent as a whole. As a known person, I have a target on my back. I constantly have to look over my shoulder. I have to find different ways of movement to lobby and influence people to support us and so on. But also just living my bare minimum life is a constant. I have to think 3-4 folds of security for that, which means that if the president signs it tomorrow, the target on my back gets executed by anyone. It doesn't have to be a state actor. And, you ask about the community. That is one of the things that inspires me, that despite all the hate that has been spewed in public arena in Uganda, we are seeing more and more young people coming out as LGBTIQ. That inspires me, and it also scares me at the same time. So definitely I'm not running away. The constitution that has been violated enormously by our parliament guarantees protections for citizens or for people within the borders of Uganda. So I will try with other advocates to pursue that angle of protection if I live in long enough to be able to file such a petition to probably cause an injunction so that there's no violence that is carried out. But that is highly unlikely. Violence is already happening across the country. Ugandans are taking, the law into their hands, and yet it's not yet even signed. So imagine when it's signed, what would happen? The atrocities will be so many. Yes, please.
Many people may not know of your work. The internet knows of your work, and you've not been doing this. This is, you've been in a lifelong struggle, and you might be even irritated by this. Your role in awareness has largely been driven what has now become an internet meme. You've been interviewed by people like John Oliver because of this. You've been interviewed, I think, by even Anderson Cooper of CNN because of this. And I'm going to play a little bit. It may irritate you because your legacy is far beyond this particular internet meme, but I just want to demonstrate how you've been dealing with this, not since yesterday, but for more than a decade. And this was an interview that you were asked to come on and be a guest on a Ugandan TV show on NBS. And I'm going to play the clip.
Bring in the studio this morning one of the gay rights activists, Mr. Should I call you Mr.? Yes. Pepe Zima. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for
good morning.
Morning to you.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay. You are a transgender.
What shows that I'm gay?
You are a transgender, yes, and you're a gay rights activist and an outspoken lesbian, homosexual. How can I describe you? Now we're looking at the
Pepe. That's just an excerpt of what you endured for an hour. You may have received a lot of international praise for your conduct, your grace. But what was that reaction? 10 years ago, you became then a marked person in Uganda 10 years ago because of that interview. How do you feel about it today, noting that this is where we stand now, where tomorrow, simply for being you, you could be put in jail for a minimum of 10 years? How do you feel about it 10 years later?
I still have moments when I relive the trauma that I faced at the studio that morning. One thing that people don't know, or some of the things that people don't know, is that at some point I walked off the the set for the interview, because they had violated the agreement we had before I got on the show. But I found in the corridor at the reception area, it was packed. I couldn't basically pass. And I was shocked with how many people were actually in their reception watching. But the amazing thing happened there is that the people who were there told me, no, you're doing great. please go back. You're giving us information. We are learning. The second part is that after the show, like downstairs, because it's a storied building, downstairs there were motorcycle riders, and those are usually known for mob violence. They were packed in the compound of the studio. And so whenever that clip is played again, I go back to that part after after the interview in the studio, because people had come to kill me.
Wow. Pepe, Julian, Onzima, best of luck. Really appreciate your time. All the best to you and your community in Uganda. Thank you so much for your time here on Good Morning Cape Town.